Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 20th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and birthday girl, Melissa Hansen.
Yes, it was. I'm officially really old. That is old.
Not. You're still younger than me.
That is true. I'm still really old.
Jeez. So how was your birthday week in entertainment?
The past couple weeks, I have gotten completely into Hannibal.
Ooh, that's the new...
It's the Brian Fuller TV show.
Yes.
It's on NBC. And it's really interesting. It's definitely a Brian Fuller show.
Now, Brian Fuller also gave us Pushing Daisies and Wonderfalls.
And Dead Like Me.
Yes.
So it's very, very visual. And the other ones had this weirdness, but whimsy.
Yes.
This is a weirdness freaky.
Okay. How so?
It's about Hannibal Lecter.
Wow.
So the show it's based on the characters from Red Dragon and Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
And we're going to pretend the novel Hannibal never happened.
Okay.
Just in general. It has nothing to do with this. It's just such a bad book. But anyhow, so it doesn't have Clarice Starling in it, the Jodie Foster character.
Okay.
It's basically a prequel to the books. And it's a different spin on the characters. So Will Graham, the FBI guy that was in Red Dragon.
Okay, right. By Bill Peterson.
It's kind of a younger version of him. It's played by Hugh Dancy. So it's a younger version of him, and he couldn't make it as an FBI agent, so he was teaching. But Jack Crawford, the head of the behavioral science division, was played by Lawrence Fishburne, brings in Will Graham for help on cases, because Will Graham can walk into a situation and see himself as the killer, like what the killer did. Will Graham is, they set it up, he's on the autistic spectrum in this, which is not really in the books. But so he's got this weird way of looking at things. He can connect with these killers, which kind of freaks him out too.
Okay.
But anyhow, so he's brought in and he's solving these cases, but he's having a really hard time dealing with everything. So the psychiatrist with the FBI, played by Caroline DeVernis, her old friend, another psychiatrist, Dr. Hannibal Lecter, to kind of help out Will.
Interesting.
So Hannibal Lecter is Will Graham's unofficial psychiatrist.
Wow.
Meanwhile, the big case they're trying to solve, Hannibal Lecter is the serial killer. And Will Graham comes to him and talks about the case.
Interesting.
Meanwhile, they're solving other cases throughout.
All right.
It's so well done. And the other thing I have to mention, one of the FBI tech guys, Scott Thompson.
No!
He's in the hall.
Wow.
So it's this amazing, amazing cast.
What was that?
One guest who plays Lawrence Fishburne's wife in this. Come on. Gina Torres.
Oh, I'm not even paying attention. Right, his real life wife.
So anyhow, it's an amazing cast. Mads Mikkelsen, who was in the Daniel Craig Casino Royale.
Okay.
He's a Danish actor. Plays Dr. Lecter and does this beautiful, I mean, he's just as cold as ice kind of thing. It's just really great take on it.
Yeah.
But it's, like I said, it's very visual, and Will Graham can walk into the scene, and it kind of, they do it in reverse, and they show him, like, killing, because that's what he's seeing in his mind. This is the first episode I have never seen so much spurting blood.
Oh, boy. Like Quentin Tarantino kind of stuff.
And it was, like, so much, but realistic, very, very realistic.
Okay.
And you see these dead bodies strung up, and, oh, horrible things have been done to them. It's very, very, very graphic. I'm really surprised it's on NBC.
Okay.
It is more than Dexter-y graphic. But the cast is great. It's interesting. And this whole, like, we know Dr. Lecter. And there's so many scenes of him cooking. And most of the time we hear, one of the episodes, somebody was stealing organs.
Yeah.
him cooking the organs.
Oh.
But a lot of time with the cooking, and he invites them over for dinner. Like, he has dinner with the FBI agents and stuff.
Oh,
you don't know if they're eating human
Blech.
Or not. Oh. And, but also, like, well, Graham has these very vivid dreams that are kind of surreal.
Okay.
And so it's, like, beautifully shot, but it's thoroughly disgusting.
Huh.
And just well acted and really, really interesting. And we don't know if it's coming back, actually, because the ratings started out really great, but they've tapered off. So it has not been renewed yet.
Okay.
And Brian Fuller has said he will only do the short seasons. He will only do half seasons.
All right.
For it, because he's got, like, it set up the, you know, shorter storylines, like, to wrap up a bigger storyline within the seasons. And so we'll see if it comes back. But if it doesn't come back on NBC, cable networks are kind of sniffing around it already.
Okay. Well, you know, Brian has had such terrible luck with keeping shows going.
I know, because they're interesting shows.
He needs a network of his own.
Not next, you know, Celebrity Apprentice or Real Housewives or whatever, you know, they're smart and interesting, and they're really great. And this is another really, I kind of was nervous.
Yeah.
I don't like Dexter so much, but I was a little nervous and I threw myself into it. And okay. The other, my favorite thing really quick.
Yeah.
Each episode title is a French culinary term.
Oh geez.
Ah, mousse bouche, like very, like, it's
foie gras.
Got a whimsy, but it's a very dark whimsy. Very dark.
All right.
So. And it does kind of hanging out with serial killers.
There you go. Well, I mean, that's always been something that you've been fascinated with, you know, anyways,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, I have two things to talk about, both of which I have to be very careful because I don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
Season finale of Doctor Who I saw last night, got caught up with. You know how pissed off I was at Stephen Moffat? All right, Stephen, all is forgiven.
Wow, what fun. Nice.
Yeah, I still think the contrivance, I mean, the whole Clara setup was kind of stretched out unnecessarily because it was pretty much a one-trick story.
Okay.
Now, it'll be interesting to see where she goes from here, but the mystery is very simple to solve, and it makes sense when it's laid out. The most fascinating thing about this whole thing is that this story, which is powerful in that the Doctor winds up crossing his own timeline, which is a very big no-no.
Oh, crap, yeah.
But it sets up the 50th anniversary special, which airs November 23rd.
Okay.
Which co-stars David Tennant as the 10th Doctor, partnering with Matt's 11th Doctor, to confront what we now know. Well, see, I don't want to... Oh, I can't...
Don't tell us.
All right. Let's just say that there's a piece of Doctor Who history that we are not aware of.
Okay, nice.
From when the old series ended with Paul McGann's movie to where the new series started with Christopher Eccleston, there is a major untold story.
Okay.
And this particular episode tees up what that will be, the reveal of that.
Nice.
So... The other thing I saw was Star Trek Into Darkness, which my brother and I went and caught, not the Wednesday midnight, but we went and saw it on Thursday. I wouldn't consider myself a Trekkie. I watched the reruns in the 70s. I had the Mego dolls and all the play sets and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I got back into it in college and saw all the original. I'm an original series fan.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I like all the Star Trek stuff. In fact, I kind of gave up after Next Generation, watched a little bit of Deep Space Nine. But the original series I absolutely adore, and I've seen the episodes over and over again. Recently watched them all several years ago when they came to Blu-ray and all the special effects were upgraded. So I know the original series very well, and I was very excited with the first movie that J.J. did because it was an interesting take and, you know, going back and seeing what these characters were like as kids and then how they kind of made it an alternate, how they split off in Doctor Who fashion and created kind of this alternate timeline of what would happen. So I was very much looking forward to what they would do with a second movie now that they set this up as this new world that we could explore.
Okay.
Ugh. They
and
took
people. What I'm seeing is people are like, it pandered to the fans.
Yes.
I think I'm okay with that.
I started to be okay with it, in the movie theater, but then the more I thought about it, the more angry I got.
Okay.
Because it was lazy and it was unnecessary. You missed a huge opportunity to tell a great story, and instead you kind of took an existing story and tweaked it to say, wouldn't this be funny if we did this? And I'm like, oh, you bastards. It's got a huge fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Visually, I mean, it's a J.J. Abrams film, right? Super 8 is one of my favorite films of all times, and I can watch that thing forever. It has that J.J. Abrams feel. It's big, it's bold, it's beautiful. At no point do you say, boy, that looks fake. But for a Star Trek movie, they blew it with the characters. Because, all right, so the heart of the original series, and I'm not going to take too much time talking about this, was Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. Right? The core of those three characters, and everyone circled around their orbit.
Right.
They are doing nothing with Carl Urban's character as Dr. McCoy except rehashing just the stupid kind of classic, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer kind of lines.
Right.
And they make fun of the fact that they're doing that, but they do nothing else with this character.
That sucks.
So it's just Kirk and Spock who are back and forth.
Yeah.
And it loses something. Now, you've got the other characters who each kind of get their moment, and Simon Pegg's just fantastic as playing Simon Pegg. I mean, you laugh, you smile, he's just fantastic. But damn it, if you're going to tell a story like this, then make it your own. Don't frickin' give us what we've already seen and just spin it on its ear. It's just, I'll go see it again. But like I said, the more I think about it, the more upset I get that they really screwed the pooch. Now, JJ is fighting with Paramount over merchandising rights. I don't think he's going to do the next Star Trek movie.
Okay.
I think he's going to focus on Star Wars, which may be a good thing because I think they need a fresh take. They need to get Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman and Damon Lindelof to go write something else and give the script to somebody else because we need a new story for these characters. I don't want to see a remake of, you know, The Voyage Home or Undiscovered Country. We've seen this stuff before. We have those films. We love those films. Tell us something new.
Right, exactly. Because especially you've rebooted and you have this very different take on the characters. Use it.
You have this whole world to explore. Now they threw in, you're going to see every 20 minutes or so, they're going to make a reference to some episode in the old series. And for a while, that's fun. But damn it, just do something with these characters that's new and fresh, and it's all there for you to explore. And because you have the tools to make a great movie, but if the story sucks, it's going to bring the whole thing down. So, all right, I've said my piece, and I'm sorry if I'm bitching and whining, but I just, when I see something that has the potential to be great and it just winds up being okay, it frustrates the hell out of me.
Right, I'm with you on that.
I think that's the writer in me. I think that's the fan in me. I just no longer – we only have so much time and money for entertainment. And if I'm going to invest my time and money in this, I want it to be worth something.
Yes.
So there.
Okay.
Said my piece. All right. But yes, at the box office, it continues to do exceedingly well, which is not unexpected.
Yeah. So this weekend it made over $70 million. So it's over $84 million.
Yeah, because
including the early showings. And then Iron Man 3 in second with $35 million.
Yeah.
Great Gatsby with 23. That's only at 90 total.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sounds like a hell of a lot, but isn't really.
Right.
Because Iron Man 3 is at $337 million in total US.
Huh.
So, Pain and Gain is hanging in there. But this is where we have the huge drop off to fourth, $3 million.
All right.
And back up in fifth, The Croods.
Nice.
With almost $3 million.
Wow.
What is that?
Good movies have legs. Like good theater.
Yep. So that's what, again, it's not one thing. It's kind of split between those top three.
Yeah.
This week.
All right. Next coming this week, we have a Thursday opening in The Hangover Part 3, which hopefully is the last of these. It's
supposed to be the end of it.
Yeah. There's no wedding. There's no bachelor party. The boys are back in Vegas. And the tagline is, what could possibly go wrong?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On Friday, we've got The Fast and the Furious 6. Can't tell this is a summer of sequels, can you? The Rock partners with Vin Diesel's team. The last movie, number 5, was like a heist picture, which everyone thought was really great. Now, this time, The Rock and Diesel's team are going after two former special ops brothers, played by Jason Statham and Luke Evan, who, as the tagline says, wage vehicular warfare.
Of course they do.
To be honest, I have not seen any of these films, so I can't speak to how good or bad they are. Counter-programming this week. Fox's animation, the sweeping adventure called Epic, is the story of a girl who is trying to find her lost father, who winds up stumbling into a world within our own, a tiny world of insects and, you know, plants and things like this. And she must become a hero to help save it and our world. And it looks phenomenally beautiful. Whether the story holds up, I'm not sure, but you know this is going to be the family movie. This will replace The Croods as the family movie to go see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we've talked about it a couple times before, but Richard Linklater's Before Midnight opens this weekend.
Yes.
It finds Jesse and Celine in Greece.
Right. Like 18 years after the original.
Yep.
So, and that's, very cool. It's Richard Linklater's, but Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy wrote it with him.
Yeah, as they did the last one.
Yeah, they kind of get together whenever they can and workshop it.
Yeah.
So.
Good for them.
All right.
On DVD and Blu-ray this week, we reviewed it last time. Arnold returns in The Last Stand. We've got HBO's True Blood Season 5. Have you ever watched that show?
I have not.
No, me either.
It's one on my list to eventually get to.
Yeah. If you have not had enough of the teen fantasy supernatural romance.
Oh, no, I haven't at all. Not near enough.
Cammy Garcia's young adult novel Beautiful Creatures comes to life on the big screen this week in DVD and Blu-ray. Two films I have not seen of the magnificent Hayao Miyazaki's classic animated tales, My Neighbor Totoro and Howl's Moving Castle, both arrive on Blu-ray courtesy of Disney this week. Said him before, Jason Statham teams with J-Lo for an action-adventure picture called Parker. I don't need to see any more of her than I already do. And in one of his final films, Steven Soderbergh once again partners with Channing Tatum for the tale of an ex-con, played by Channing Tatum, of course, whose wife is being treated for anxiety by an unscrupulous shrink, which juxtapositionally, Catherine Zeta-Jones, who has been treated for her own mental health issues, who is giving Tatum's wife experimental drugs in the film's side effects.
Yeah, it looks, a bit of a thriller.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It looks very interesting. I missed that in the theater. It was always my second choice to go see.
Yeah.
End up seeing other things.
Oh, all right.
I will definitely catch it now.
All right. Since people have asked about it, we're going to start talking about Redbox really quick and just run down what the new stuff is coming to Redbox.
Okay.
A lot of people use that as their DVD rental these days. Texas Chainsaw 3D, Marlon Wayans' A Haunted House, Bill Murray in Hyde Park on the Hudson, which I still have not seen, but I do want to see it. The remake of Steel Magnolias with Queen Latifah and Felicia Rashad. And Felicia Rashad's daughter is in it as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Ahmad's daughter. And then two movies that are coming back to help you prep for the summer. J.J. Abrams' first Star Trek and The Hangover Part 2.
All right.
All at Redbox this week. Over at Netflix streaming, we've got Joss Whedon's A Cabin in the Woods, which I have not seen, and I'm still torn as to whether I want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Don Coscarelli's John Dies at the End. We have Jennifer Lawrence in A House at the End of the Street. So there's plenty of horror. People love their horror movies during the summer, so there's plenty of stuff for you to explore there.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Polanski's Chinatown with Jack Nicholson.
Ugh.
And then the trailer for Arrested Development Season 4.
All right.
And then at Hulu, we've got a metric ton of those Disney knockoffs that you see at Walmart or Target for $5.99, where the cover looks exactly like a Disney movie, but the film itself was done by some cheap-ass animation house. So all of those are on Hulu if you ever want to look at those.
Boy.
The how would you describe it? What the Bleep is available on Hulu this week.
Oh, cool.
It is, I wouldn't call it a documentary.
Yeah, that's the closest thing it's in. It's a visual self-help book.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it.
But it's done with like, it's a self-helpy thing, but it's a scientific view.
Yeah.
Of the whole self-help thing. It's the scientific view more of like the secrets. I prefer it to the secret.
Oh, it's so much more powerful than the secret.
It's so much more to me. But it's, if you like that kind of thing, you might like this. It's the quantum physics view of self-help.
There's some really fascinating sub-stories in this. The thing about the study they did with water and ice.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's scientific. And do you believe the science?
Right.
It's the question.
Science and faith, and it's really worth watching.
Yeah, I think it's really, if you're at all into self-help, or if you're not into self-help, but if you think like this more scientific view might be worth it, you know, this is the way to get into that kind of stuff. You're kind of like what everybody else is talking about, like I said, with The Secret and things like that, but you don't quite buy it. Like, this is the one for you.
Yeah, very easily digestible and gives you plenty to think about. And very well done, from the animation.
Yeah, it stars Marley Matlin, actually. There's like a story of this woman who's unhappy and how she gets happy. But we see all the chemicals in her brain and things like that that make her this and how to change that. And
very well done. All right. That's all I've got for streaming this week.
Okay. Well, again, we have like a million new starting and old ending and all that on TV. So right. I'm going to fly through it. Monday, ABC, there's a new show. It's going to be on this summer. It's called Motive. It's actually not quite new because it's a Canadian show. It's a police show that ABC is going to be showing.
Hmm.
All right. But ending, we have on CBS, Rules of Engagement, Mike and Molly, Hawaii 5-0. Mm-hmm. And then Fox has a new show premiering called The Goodwin Games. It's siblings that, to like get their inheritance, have to like do these tasks or something. Meh. But starring Scott Foley.
Oh.
The original Jennifer Gardner. Mr. Jennifer Gardner.
Yes, that's right.
And then Becky Newton, who was actually just on How I Met Your Mother recently.
Oh, okay.
Playing his old fiance.
Jeez.
Kind of thing, but people know her from Ugly Betty. She's really cute and funny. So anyhow, so that is new. And then Tuesday we have the Dancing with the Stars finale on ABC and the Grimm finale on NBC. Wednesday we have the ends of The Middle, Modern Family in Nashville on ABC, Criminal Minds on CBS, SVU, and Chicago Fire on NBC. But we're premiering MasterChefs. And then Thursday, Rookie Blues is back on ABC. And a new show, Save Me, is on NBC. It's Anne Heche.
Oh, really?
Listen to this. This is the official. Quote, a woman who, after nearly choking to death in a sandwich, becomes a direct pipeline to God. It's a comedy, in case you weren't sure.
All right.
And then also Fox has a new show. I saw the ads for this and it's very disturbing. Does Someone Have to Go? They go into like a small business and they like tell everybody else's salary and they make a decision like if they're going to fire one of their coworkers.
Oh my God.
Disturbing reality. Like most reality to me is just pointless. We're getting into disturbing reality.
All right.
Anyhow, Friday on PBS, you have to check your local listings, but Live from Lincoln Center has Audra McDonald in concert.
Oh, nice.
Go back home. I've talked about her a lot in the theater section. I'm actually going to talk about her next, too. But Sunday, okay, poor Smash. Now, it does suck, but crap. NBC moved it to Saturday night.
All right.
Right, which we knew was not going to come back after that. Right. Not only that slap in the face, another slap in the face. It's not on this Saturday. They're running the last two episodes. They're burning them off Sunday night.
Oh, my God.
If you actually are a fan of Smash, pay attention. Tune in Sunday night to NBC to see the last 2 hours of it.
Well, what did we also found out that what the girl in apartment or the B in apartment 3B or whatever the name of that show was?
Yeah, the B.
Yeah, so they're burning those episodes off online.
Online, they are.
And our friend Wayne, who guest starred in one of those episodes, is in one of those burn-offs.
Yes, I was going to mention that when you brought it up. Yeah, so if you are a fan of that, thank you for bringing it up. If you're a fan of that, go online and you can see the episodes that haven't aired.
Yeah.
Including, like, a big prequel episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of them is How She Became, like, the Bitch.
All right.
So, all right, music this week. Man, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Daft Punk.
Oh, yeah.
That's a new one. Random Access Memories. And Pharrell Williams sings on a couple of those.
All right.
And one of my favorites, he really has become, Darius Rucker.
Oh, yeah.
From Hootie and the Blowfish. You know, after they had their big, what, they were huge in the 90s, broke up. He is now a country singer, and he's had a few albums, and he's really great. So
nice.
I'm a fan of his. But the Beach Boys Live, the 50th anniversary tour. So last year was the 50th anniversary of the Beach Boys. They did a tour, of course, and recorded a bunch of it. So that is a big, like, double CD of live stuff.
Okay.
And then Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Uh-huh.
Jordan Catalano. Well, Jared Leto, whatever. He's still Jordan Catalano. That's his band.
All right.
Brand New Heavies have a new one called Forward. Mm-hmm. And then, if you didn't get enough of her on PBS, Go Back Home by Audra McDonald is out on CD this week.
Yeah.
So you can, or download it and have it all to yourself. Okay. Good Songs and Great Friends, Bret Michaels. He went and re-recorded, it's other stuff, but a bunch of old Poison songs too.
Yeah.
But catch the second part of that title, Great Friends.
Oh.
Jimmy Buffett.
Edward, oh, nice.
Miley Cyrus, Michael Anthony, Ace Frehley.
Oh my God.
Right? Like crazy. Here, Joe Perry and CC DeVille's on it, but re-recorded Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah.
With Loretta frickin' Lynn.
Holy crap.
How cool is that?
That's like Jack White and Johnny Cash doing stuff, you know.
Right. Well, Jack White did a whole album with Loretta Lynn, too. So, that's man, right. To her to, like, staying in the forefront.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, even if you're not, like, a Bret Michaels fan, that sounds like an awesome album.
Nice.
So, all right, books. We don't have to say it this week, but we're going to say John Grisham instead. And he has a new one, Theodore Boone, The Activist. And that's a series that he has. The new one of that is out. And I'm not sure if Mac reads the books too, but if he does, Richard Castle, in quote marks, has a new one, Stormfront, a Derek Storm novel.
Okay.
And fans of the show, Nathan Fillion's character, Richard Castle, is a novelist, and his big character was Derek Storm. Well, he killed him off in the very beginning of the show, in the books, and then needed a new character, and that's how he ended up hanging out with the police department, whatever. And now they've gone back, and they actually have a Derek Storm novel by, again, in quotes, Richard Castle. I hope whoever writes these is getting paid really big. also this week, The Bling Ring, how a gang of fame-obsessed teens ripped off Hollywood and shocked the world. It's by Nancy Jo Sales, but the reason this is interesting is the movie, The Bling Ring,
which is Sofia Coppola.
And this is a true story. There's this bunch of Hollywood 20-somethings who went and robbed Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and a whole bunch of celebrities.
Yep.
They found out where they lived. They broke into their houses.
Well, let's put it this way. It's not hard to find out where these people live.
No, it's not. But, so, this is total Lifetime movie kind of movie coming out. But it's not. It's a major motion picture by Sofia Coppola.
Yeah. Now, so, there was a Lifetime original movie that was based on the same story that happened
Because that's what this story is made for. So, I'm totally psyched to see the Sofia Coppola. But anyhow, if you are too, the book that it's based on is out.
Well, it played at the Cannes Film Festival, and Paris Hilton was there, God knows why. And she came out and told the media how it made her cry because she finally realized how violated she was when they were in her house. And just like, oh, woman, go find something else to get your career restarted.
Oh, well. Anyhow. All right. A couple a couple more nonfiction. I'm going to tell you the title. You have to tell me who wrote it. 11 Rings, Jonathan. The Soul of Success.
Oh, I was going to say James Patterson. The Soul of Success. I don't
Phil know. Jackson.
Oh!
It's 11 frickin' rings.
Nice.
That he has. So, yes. That is out. And there's a new biography about Margaret Thatcher, From Grantham to the Falklands by Charles Moore. If you still haven't gotten enough about her. And then I'm the only one interested in this, but the new Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the fifth edition, is out this week, finally.
That's called the DSM-4?
Well, it was called the DSM-4.
Yeah.
Before that, it was called DSM-3, DSM-2, DSM-1.
Oh, all right.
Before this one, it was called the DSM-4 TR, which is text revision. So now we have DSM-5 out for all of us.
All right.
Shrink head kind of people. All right. I'm actually disturbed by my theater news.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, it's kind of crazy that I am. So I had mentioned all the Tony Award nominees.
Yeah.
That are coming up. And I said, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Quite a number of times there. And I got really very, very excited because Tracy Letts and Amy Morton are up. And I saw this a few years ago when they first premiered it in Chicago.
Okay.
Anyhow, they are on May 23rd. There's going to be a hearing to see if they broke the rules.
What?
And if they are going to take away their nominations.
Why?
Because anything sent to the Tony voters has to go through like an office in the Tony committee.
Okay.
It has to be approved. You can't send, hey, vote for us stuff without it being approved.
Oh.
And someone with Virginia Woolf sent stuff to Tony voters.
Oh, shit. Well, we went through this with the Weinsteins and the Oscars years ago. Because there used to be huge marketing campaigns in Oscar season for courting votes.
Yeah.
So, would be a travesty if that
actually... Similar thing. So they could just, like, get a slap on the hand. It's not the actors that did it.
No, no. But, I mean, they are the ones who are going to suffer.
But they could take away all their cancel all their nominations.
That's bullshit.
So I'm actually scared it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So because I think Amy and Tracy deserve everything.
Wow.
So... Anyhow, so I will keep an eye on that, actually, and update you, hopefully with good news.
All right.
To me, at least next week.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, looking at my entertainment news, it's a lot of casting stuff that's been happening this past week. This may be interesting to you. Barbara Broccoli and Michael Wilson are courting Christopher Nolan to direct the next James Bond film.
Interesting.
So Sam Mendes was originally going to do it, but because it got pushed out, timing-wise, and Daniel's schedule, he will not be available to do the next film. So,
okay.
But Nolan doing Bond? Wow, that could be quite intriguing. Joss Whedon has confirmed that Magneto's kids, Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch, will be part of Avengers 2. They were two of the... Let's see, this would be second-generation Avengers. Not the original Avengers from Marvel Comics, but the next group of heroes, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, were very prominently featured. In fact, Scarlet Witch had an android husband called the Vision, who could play a very big part in this story as well.
Okay. I'm a little confused, but sure.
I know. It means nothing to people except people who read Marvel Comics. Christine Baranski is the latest to sign on to Rob Marshall's big screen adaptation of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods for Disney. She joins Johnny Depp, Emily Blunt, Meryl Streep, and soon to sign Chris Pine and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ooh, nice.
An all-star cast.
Oh, yeah.
Sylvester Stallone is planning to add Mickey Rourke, Jackie Chan, and Wesley Snipes to Expendables 3.
Nice!
So, I don't know how many more 80s action heroes you can possibly find. But
well, you can keep going down there, like Jan Michael Vincent, right? Scrape the bottom of the barrel here. We're not even close to it.
This is true. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman is playing Anita Bryant in the biopic Anita.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So this was the orange juice spokesman who...
she was a beauty queen.
Yes.
And that's why she became like the orange juice spokesperson.
Right. And then completely got into the gay then, rights.
Shot her mouth off about, how horrible gay people are.
Yeah. Which is funny because it's still happening today. Dumb people. And what has got to be one of the signs of the apocalypse, Jonathan Groff is getting his own HBO series.
Mm-hmm.
What is the matter with you people? It's being billed as a gay dramedy.
Okay.
Which 5 minutes of Jonathan Groff is more than enough for anybody to have to stomach, let alone an entire 13 episodes. Uh-huh. Trust me. Trust me on this. All right. In what has to be the best news of the week, the month, the year... Bill Hader is leaving Saturday Night Live. That's not the news. I mean, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's sad news.
It is sad news. But
I'm going to miss Stefan so much.
Well, this is it. This past weekend, they gave one of his most beloved characters, Stefan, the New York City entertainment critic on Weekend Update, the greatest send-off of all SNL's character send-offs. So they basically recreated The Graduate, the scene with Dustin Hoffman goes and rescues his girlfriend from getting married. And they brought all of the characters that Stefan used to reference, like DJ Baby Bok Choi and all of these people. they brought them to life in this. It's so beautiful. Go over to Hulu. I'm sure the clip is up there now. Seth usually botches these types of things because he's too busy laughing at himself or at Bill. But this was beautifully done. And I will watch it two or three more times because I just absolutely adored it. So you think Laser Cats is good? Watch this. All right, that's all I've got for news this week.
All right. Well, it's so funny. I'm all set for this, like, I'm going to tell you how Aretha Franklin blasted Kim Kardashian, right? Because I'm on TMZ's website.
Yeah.
Aretha to Kim K, babies belong at home, not on tour. And, like, 3 exclamation points in this whole thing. So I'm all set to tell you this. And then I watched the clip. Yeah. So TMZ caught Aretha Franklin coming out of a building and talked to her a little bit about her health and weight loss and things like that. And then they all of a sudden told her, like, because the big news is Kim has said she's taking the baby on tour with Kanye this fall.
Yeah.
Right? And so they asked Aretha about it, and they make it seem like she blasted Kim. She's like, I wouldn't do it. That's all she said.
I love how you make a story out of nothing.
Right. Right. I'm just like, really? So, I mean, not like... TMZ is, you know, high quality journalism, even though they're usually right. They're usually the one I go there for, like, any breaking story.
And Harvey's gone now. Harvey's passed the torch on to somebody else. He's left the organization. So maybe they're even going further down the path of no return.
I don't know. But anyhow, so the news is Kim is taking the baby on tour with Kanye this fall. So it'll be a couple months old.
Yeah.
And Aretha Franklin doesn't really care what TMZ tells you. That's actually the news.
As the majority of people do not.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a contest this week over at DVD?
We do. And it's one I know absolutely nothing about.
Oh.
Monsuno Power. It's a Japanese.
Oh, it's anime.
Show.
From Shout Factory.
Yes. Yeah. So those of you that's your thing... come on over and try to win it.
There you go. All right. And on that big bombastic bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, as always, for heading over to DVD Verdict to read our reviews. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Winter will leave us. Well, goodbye, Old England, until next year's snow.